Good evening, and welcome to Financial Time Machine. I'm Megan Thomas. Tonight, we're stepping back into another chapter of everyday American life, exploring the money, culture, habits, and quiet routines that shaped previous generations. From grocery stores and family dinners, to old advertisements, retirement dreams, and the way people once thought about debt, security, and success. This podcast is a journey through the forgotten rhythms of American life. Somewhere between nostalgia and history, there's usually a lesson. So settle in, slow down for a little while, and let's take a trip back in time. This is Financial Time Machine.
Imagine a kitchen counter in 1956, a glass jar with a chipped lid, half full of coins that glint in the afternoon sun, a small leather ledger tucked into the drawer, pages soft with handwriting, a mother and father counting change together after supper, whispering numbers like prayers of practicality. In 1950s America, the idea that a family might buy a home on a single income wasn't a rumor. It was part of daily planning. That certainty shaped habits. Spare change saved in jars, envelopes labeled rent, groceries, gas, Sunday nights spent copying figures into a ledger by lamplight. These were small rituals, but they built real security.
Let's start with the oldest, most visible of these rituals, the coin jar. Not a metaphor, not a spreadsheet, a jar. On a kitchen counter, it was obvious, tactile, and unignorable. Every evening, coins from pockets and purses found their way into that glass. Children were taught to tip the jar and hear the clink. They learned that pieces added up. Why did it matter? Because seeing money accumulate, physically, changed behavior. A growing jar slowed impulse, created pride. It made saving a family story you could touch.
Alongside jars were envelope systems. Labeled paper envelopes kept in a dresser or a shoebox, each devoted to a category. Groceries, clothing, church donations, the occasional date night. Weekly paydays meant envelopes padded, bills folded in, priorities reaffirmed. The envelopes turned abstract budgets into a daily choreography. You could only spend the cash in an envelope, and when it was gone, you waited. That waiting taught delayed gratification, not as a lecture, but as a lived habit. There was no app reminding you. There was a felt consequence at hand.
Ledgers were the quiet backbone. Saturday nights often meant a lamp pulled close, a cup of coffee, and the couple or household updating a simple register. Names of stores, prices, notes. Sears, coat, $14.99. Sometimes a pamphlet sat beside the ledger, a Sears savings guide, or a bank circular promising steady interest on passbooks. These journals were less about precise forecasting and more about narrative, the family's financial story written in ink. Children watched this ritual and learned arithmetic, yes, but also responsibility. A child who earned a quarter mowing lawns saw their name added and a note, saved for shoes. That small entry tied work to reward in a way screen balances rarely do.
There were social rules too. Money talk, but not as confrontation. Weekly check-ins were rituals. A husband and wife comparing envelopes, a parent explaining why a purchase waited. These conversations created accountability and a shared understanding of choices. Neighbors sometimes pooled knowledge. The best place to buy flour, right down the street. A church bake sale that doubled as a friendly reminder to spend lightly. Community mattered. Credit was Luncle, a grocer who trusted you for a month's tab, an employer who advanced pay when needed. That trust network softened shocks in a way that modern algorithmic credit sometimes cannot.
We should pause and name a necessary caution. These systems weren't universal. Access to stable jobs, fair wages, and bank services varied by race, gender, and class. Not every family could rely on a single income or on neighborhood trust. Our nostalgia must not erase those exclusions. What I want to lift up, though, are the practical habits, visible saving, ritualized accounting, and tactile learning that many households used to build resilience. By focusing on practice rather than myth, we can borrow tools without glossing over who was left out.
So how did these mid-century rituals compare to the ways we save now? The obvious contrast is automation. Today, direct deposit and automatic transfers move money into accounts we rarely see. That removes friction, and sometimes the lesson. A balance that grows silently behind an app doesn't teach the same muscle as emptying a jar and feeling the weight of what you've earned. Modern conveniences have obvious benefits: security, speed, credit histories that unlock opportunities. But they can also dilute the intentional pauses those envelopes and ledgers enforced. When saving is invisible, spending can become unconscious.
If you want a practical experiment from tonight's story, try a simple ritual. Pick one jar and one envelope. For a month, funnel the spare change into the jar and put cash for one budget line into an envelope each week. Keep a small notebook, a modern ledger, and write one line about why you saved or why you spent. The goal isn't austerity, it's awareness. You may find the jar empties faster than you expect. You may also find the act of counting feels steadier than an app notification ever could. And if a conversation with someone in your household grows from those entries, you've recreated an old practice that turned private arithmetic into shared intention.
There's an emotional payoff here, beyond the dollars. Confidence. Small, repeated rituals produce a sense of control. When families wrote numbers in ledgers, they didn't just track purchases. They proved to themselves that they could close the month. That certainty, however small, becomes the root of larger decisions. When to buy a house, when to save for school, when to finally take a modest vacation. We trade a certain tactile confidence for convenience in the modern age. Sometimes that trade is worth it. Sometimes it leaves us untethered. The lesson of mid-century saving is to make space for rituals that restore agency.
As we close tonight, imagine the slow scrape of a pencil across paper, the clink of coins, a lamp left burning over a neat page of numbers. These are small sounds, but they formed larger habits, patience, discussion, and a visible sense of progress. You don't need to romanticize the past to borrow its useful edges. Maybe the jar won't fix everything, but the habit of seeing what you have, naming what you need, and sharing the story of money with people you trust, that idea can still steady us.
And that's where we'll leave our journey tonight. The past may look different through modern eyes, but sometimes, hidden inside old routines and forgotten traditions, we find pieces of ourselves we've been missing. Thank you for spending a little time traveling through history with me. Until next time, keep one foot in the past. Good night, and thanks for listening to Financial Time Machine.